two big ones. So if they acknowledge back to you what you've asked them, the instruction, you know, what does that mean? Well, that means, you know, when I'm done with this, I need to have all this picked up. Okay, so, you know, before the clock hits whatever, you know, all of this is going to be cleaned up. All of this is going to be put in its right place. Yes? Yes, I'll have it all picked up. Exactly. So, they're supposed to look you in the face, say yes, Mom, or yes, Dad, and, timely. Giving a time frame, because if you just say, you know, I want you to do this, but you don't set a time frame, then in a child's mind, you know, that can mean, well, yeah, anytime, when I get around to it. So, you know, give them a time frame. At work, I have to do that too. I can't just say, you know, I need to make sure that you get the, you know, the pods and the features done. I tell them, look, before first break, before you even get into your aisles, get all the pods done, get all the features done. Then you can get into the aisles and do what you have to do. But if I just say, you know, hey, make sure you get these done before you leave, you know, I could be walking at 4 o'clock and they're still not done. And that's the first thing that people look at, you know, so I have to give them a time frame and say, I want this done before first break. And then they know. That's a priority. So time frame is important in the mind of the child.
Quick topic. In college, when we were for teacher training stuff, one of the classes about it was about evaluation and creating tests and test questions and things like that. And that was something that was very clear there, was you had to make sure that you had very pointed things to know that when you were done with your evaluation, you knew exactly what you could evaluate. And it's kind of along the same lines. You know, you have to say you have to have this, you have to have this point. This length, I mean, you had to be very specific so that you had criteria that you knew you could clearly define and clearly see what you were done.
Right.
So that you could say, yes, it's done, it's completed. I think the same is true when you're giving directions to anybody, really. Making sure that it's clear that you're not assuming they're understanding what you're thinking.
Right.
So that you're on the same page and that you're those clear points are there so that when they're done, you'll know that it's done.
So if a person's nodding when you're talking to them, does that mean they understand?
No.
No.
You know, I said no.
Just means they're head pivots.
They could be guilty of this too. I mean, everybody, somebody starts to ask me to do something, they're not trying to pull me for the time in my mind. I'm just going to say, and I may already be thinking, well, now I can probably do this, or I can do this. And I don't meet the criteria because they didn't tell me exactly where they ended up. So I take as long as I need to take.
Right.
You know,
yeah, right.
You know, sometimes your mind wanders, you know, and instead of actually hearing the complete instruction, especially if it's got any detail to it, you know, it's that deer in the headlight thing.
Right.
And you're nodding your head like this, you're not getting it at all because all you're hearing is wah, 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 wah,
right.
Wah.
Now, ultimately, you're training your children to specifically listen and be obedient to your voice because you're training them to be obedient and listen to the Father's voice. And when the Father speaks, you know, it needs to be immediate. It needs to be all the way complete. It needs to be without challenge, without complaint. You know, so we're not just teaching our children for the sake of them obeying us. We're teaching them, you know, this is the standard of obedience in your relationship with your Father God. You need to listen to His voice. So your children can learn to tune you out, but we're training them, no, you need to be mindful. You need to listen to my voice because you're training them when the Father speaks. You need to pay attention. You need to hear that voice. You need to pay attention to it.
I think in homes, you know, now it's not as much as it was before, but like with us, well, it didn't work out too well either. But people used to say, you know, well, wait till your father gets home, and they knew that father had authority. You know, they knew when it came down. father, you know, they were going to hear it.
Right.
You know, and now there's so many people that, you know, so many kids that don't have that even a concept of, you know, what that is. What does that mean? And I think it makes it difficult for them to relate to the Lord.
Yeah, if the father is, you know, gone for months at a time, if the father's in prison, overseas, not in the picture at all.
Even if he's there, but he's absent.
Right.
You know, he's not in it. He's
not responsive.
It's so scary. I think it's so familiar. Thank you, God, because that situation is there, we don't always have that father figure here. But coming back to the basics of relationships, another, if we're teaching someone to listen and be respectful of somebody talking to you and you needing to pay attention to them just because you're respecting that person.
Right.
You know, even that can translate later to respecting.
Absolutely. God. Absolutely.
I know I've had to several times when someone's talking to me, and sometimes it's my children. I will so totally zone out and then I'll have to be like, I'm sorry. I have no idea what you're saying to me. Can we go back and tell me what you're saying?
Right.
Because apparently I say yes to a lot of things. I have no idea if I said yes. We told you. You were like, uh-huh.
A whole jerk for what?
Yeah. Okay. So does anybody else have any comments or questions from last week? So the standard was first-time obedience, right away, all the way. If they can get there on three, they can get there on one. So now we're on chapter 10, and the title for this Discipline with Encouragement.
Perspective.
Take the hand and help.
Lord, bless our fellowship and food in Jesus' name. Thoughts from this evening?
I got a question.
Okay.
What if there's a skill that you want your kid to learn that he doesn't want to learn?
That's hard.
Like, I mean, using the incentive or whatever. I mean, like the swimming. You want your kid to learn how to swim, and he says, I don't really care about swimming.
Well, then, when everybody else is in the pool and swimming and they're in the deep end, and they have to sit out or sit in the shallow end. I mean, by the time they're 12 and they're still sitting in the shallow end, they're in the kiddie pool.
What if it's like playing an instrument?
What if they don't want to swim?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you, honey. If they don't, I don't know. The thing about swimming is I think it's a safety issue.
Right. Well, let's say you want your child to learn to play the piano and they don't.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't think encouraging a child to take up something like a type of instrument or singing, I mean, they may have no desire or even have a giftedness towards that. So encourage them. Like, as soon as I find something that my kids like, I'll encourage that. My son likes the guitar or the drums, you know, so, you know, I buy him a little starter drum pad. And if he's faithful with a drum pad, you know, and gets good with it, I can encourage him by saying, you get really good with this, we'll think about a full-size drum set. And so it's encouraging by something that you're already noticing that they have. Okay. Yes, Joshua.
Really good question, you said. It's like somebody saying, you're destined to play soccer, but I want to play football.
Right. So, and here's the thing, too, is if they demonstrate a desire to do something, like let's say I really want to play football, and you sign them up for football, and after 2 weeks, they say, I really don't want to do this. They will honor their commitment. You know, so, I mean, my kids know that if they express a desire to do something, they're at least going to see it through for a particular season.
Well, think of it this way, Kate. Like, you as a parent want your kid to learn sportsmanship. But your kid, like me, has no interest in sports whatsoever.
Right. Sportsmanship can be learned outside of sports. Yeah. Right. Yeah, so if you're playing a video game and you know, every time you lose, you throw your controller into the TV, well, there's an opportunity to learn sportsmanship. Okay, hang on. Virginia has her hand up.
But in swimming, that's totally different. Say you have siblings that are younger, or a niece or someone, and you don't know how to swim. And for some reason, that child falls in, or, you know, is in. What are you going to do? To me, swimming is a life or death thing, and it doesn't have to be treated like I want you to learn to swim. But to me, I would have to encourage them. I really want you to learn to swim, because not only your safety, but other people that you might be able to save something,
right.
You know, alert somebody or help somebody.
Start with your interest before you talk back.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't force them. That's what I'm saying. How are you supposed to force them to learn a skill that you
forcing
don't,
them
that they don't
to learn, but you encourage them to learn.
And if they don't, if they decide just flat that they don't want to do it,
you just throw them in.
Sure. Yeah. You throw them in halfway to the bottom, they'll learn to like to swim.
Take it.
All of a sudden, it's important to me.
And then next to Fox News, a parent put their kid in the pool and watch them drown.
Well, thing about it is, if you give in to them a refusal on something like that without encouraging them,
you can encourage somebody all you want, but there are certain things within your own being where you know you're going to go or you're not going to go. If you were claustrophobic, you know, and you were told, no, you are going to live in this 5x6 bedroom, you know, because that's what we got for you, and so that's where you're going to be. Now, as you grow and as you become an adult, you know, this didn't prove anything. I can tread water. I don't swim. Okay? But I can hold my own. Now, the experience that I had with near drowning, I don't care who you are. Nobody is going to get me to get out there and put my face in that water. And I don't care how many times my mother put me on the bus and sent me to the island for swimming lessons. You know, it was not going to happen.
Okay, because that you're dealing with you out of a bad experience.
But see, you don't know what your child, you don't know the experiences that each individual child has.
You should.
Well,
my goodness.
Well, hang on.
There are people that are afraid of water.
If there's something that we believe is a life safety issue, we can pray that God would give us wisdom to show us how to do this with our own children. If we're talking about grown adults, okay, you're already past the age of, you know, you formed your opinion. If it's my child and I really have a desire to teach them a life safety issue, I'm going to pray, God, please show me a way that I can instill in them this, because I truly believe. And, you know, if it's something that it's not going to take, you know, then, Lord, please, I need you to be there when I can't watch them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, with me, I didn't like the water before they wanted me to take swimming lessons. That's just something.
Right.
Me and water just don't get along. So, I mean, it wouldn't have made a difference. I mean, that's what caused the near drowning, because I was forced to learn how to swim.
You were forced to do it. But I'm
not
talking about.
No, I was encouraged. Get out there. Learn to swim. You like it. It's the waves. It's good for you.
What you want to learn, though. To me, I'd rather have a child overcome its fear.
Well,
or its...
No, you're not going to leave.
There's a lot of things in life I don't really like to do. Sometimes I see them get up in the morning. But, you know, you just got to do them. And some things you have to face. And if we don't teach our children how to face their fears or their don't want to's at an early age, you won't face them when we get old. Well, they won't face them when they get old. They'll run away from them.
Okay, so my daughter brings up a good point. Okay. If God really wants you to do something, he can put the desire on the inside of you to do it.
Amen.
Well, yeah, he can, yeah, but you've got to be open.
Yeah. I heard even a story today on the radio. I don't know what it was. But anyway, it was a guy, it's like when he was a young child, his mother made him go up on the high diving board. And he, you know, and he's like, he got up there and he's like, man, this is going, you know. And he's like, and finally, after so many minutes, the lifeguard said, you know, said, you want me to go up there and get him? She goes, absolutely not.
Okay.
He's going to jump off of that.
How old was he?
I don't need it.
You know, well, that's where it goes.
But, I mean, to him, it was, it was like, no, he needs to learn to overcome and do it. To her, it would have, you know. And he says, yeah, I saw a lot of people that kids go out there. And he says, the lifeguard, you know, walks them backwards and makes them go down the ladder and all that kind of stuff. But my mom is like, absolutely not. And made him stay up until he actually,
yeah.
He says, and after that, Well,
what it connects to in my mind is, and it's totally different, but it's similar in some ways, and that is just having your kids try food. I mean, having that little bit of thing on the plate, just try it once. If you don't like it, then we'll talk about it. You know, and sometimes just like that. You know what you like it, you do. And I know that water and heights like that can be intimidating, and I think that's where you really do have to rely on the Lord to help you know your kids.
Right. You know, I think like every parent knows that if she let him do that, that she would probably never go back after him. Do it. Maybe she knew that. She knew that he would enjoy it because I think he was diving off the bottom one fine. So he liked being in the water and doing it, but when it's the high one, he was,
It just
seems
every child is different and every parent needs to be so
child. Amen.
And ultimately, really, you can't force anyone to do anything they're absolutely not going to do.
And let's go back to the fact that God gave us all the free will for a reason, because He wants us to come to the place where we're going to do something out of a heart that wants to. So ultimately, it's a heart issue, right?
Right.
So God doesn't force any one of us to do anything. He, by His own love and His the way His character is and the way He tries to demonstrate, you know, with His influence, you know, for our hearts to want to do something. And like Mark said, you know, it's just got to be something that you're open to. You can want the best for someone all day long, but if they don't want it, you know, and unfortunately, they're going to have to live with the consequences of whatever that is. So, you know, a child that grows up not liking certain foods, well, I mean, they're missing out on a lot. They have no idea, you know, what all kinds of things they would really enjoy because they've never given themselves a try. They're the ones that are missing out. You know, there's a lot of things in our personal relationships that are hindered because we won't allow ourselves to be given to certain things. You know, like we won't allow certain walls to come down. So it comes down to God gave us a free will for a reason. And it's because He wants our hearts to do something freely.
Anyway.
Certain
areas
we can agree to disagree and still love each other.
Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They just don't like it when we debate something, Virginia.
I know.
We're fine with it, by the way.
It's iron sharpening iron. That's all
right.
The answer
to your question would be is you have a skill that you desire for your child to take on. You can't make them do anything.
sure you can.
Well, I mean,
lots of people do it.
You can, but I mean, if you want them to take to it, it takes wisdom from God beyond, you know, what they're saying here and the discipline flowchart and everything. You need to be led by the Spirit of God, you know, and He's going to show you what each individual child needs. Okay, for example, you have a child with autism. You know, there are certain wisdoms that you need from God on whether or not to even try to lead your child down this road, right? I couldn't even begin to say that I know, because I don't. I just know that it requires wisdom from God.
Well, it ultimately goes back to, like, what's your characterized by doing. I mean, if you're characterized by forcing your children to do stuff, then you're, like, the authoritarian parent, which isn't a good one to be.
There's parents that are kind of like dictators. You're going to do this no matter what. I mean, to where child has
there's
fear
no
because
no
there is.
Like, it might as well be a master servant scenario instead of.
Right. Most of the time, those parents are doing it out of a sense of fear or a sense of my child is a reflection of me. And a lot of times, that is the scenario, or else it's a fear from their own, you know, whether or not they like don't like to swim or are afraid to swim, and they, you know, sometimes don't let their children experience, you know, the joys of swimming because they're so terrified of it. You know, that happens too.
And then there's the ones that know they were afraid of it and they know they missed out, so they're going to swim.
So it's, you know, there's so many, like. We have some
areas.
Thank God. We got a great whole list. Yeah. Bigger than we are.
Well, I'd like to encourage you all to to continue this, if you'd like to. That is my book. I'm going to exit out. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys want to pray and then continue, or however you want to do it. Yeah, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your wisdom. God, you are the perfect example of a parent, and we want to the best of our abilities, follow your example. So we just pray that you would help our hearts to be sensitive and open to the leading of your Holy Spirit in all that we do, not only for the raising of our children, but to help identify things in our life to see why we do what we do in our relationship with you. We want to be the kind of child that responds to your parenting. So help us with that also. Just open our eyes to help us to see the things that were in our own growing up that can help us improve our relationship with you. So we thank you for all these things. We give it back into your hands. In Jesus' name.